said to Cousin Jed, sitting on the porch. I won't retire, but I might retread. Seemed like that guy singing this song been doing it for a long time. Is there anything he knows that he ain't said? Sing a song for freedom. Sing a song for love. Sing a song for depressed angels falling from. So many things. When I was young, people wore what they had on. And Mama said, a little love and affection in everything you do will make the world a better place with or without. Was never learned, and the human race just kept rolling on. Rolling through the fighting, rolling through the religious wars, rolling down the temple walls and the church's exposed sores. Rolling through the fighting, the religious wars, mostly came up with nothing. Better now. Said that young girl of Edith and Earl's. But Grandpa just kept staring. He was lost in some distant thought. Then he turned and he said to that young girl, a little love and affection. black rooster crowing down on the double E. It's a new morning dawning on the green, bouncing off the towers. The sun's headed down to the street. A morning business meeting, window shades are drawn. Another morning edition is headed for the porch, because Grandma puts down the paper before Grandpa raises his fork. A little love and affection in everything you do. A better place. Hear that rooster crowing. Places that are just kind of hanging on. Places that were built in the 1800s by Spanish settlers. That's why they still kept the name Rancho on there. Nobody really spoke Spanish, but they thought it sounded cool to have Rancho. Well, Edith and Earl moved in a while ago. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, had kind of a rough start when they got there because they changed the name of the place. Their daughter, Sun Green, is working on her homework. She's working on a book report on a book called How to Use the Media, and another essay she's doing on Alaska, Saving the Wilderness by Sun Green. Sun's daddy is a painter. He paints psychedelic paintings, and he's very good at it. Sun thinks he's about the best painter in the whole world. I think he is, too. When you look at Earl's paintings, at first of all, you just see kind of a blur of lines and colors. The longer you look at them, the more you see. Until finally, you can see people talking and making love and fighting and kicking each other and playing cards and all kinds of things. All Earl's paintings are like that. But he's never been able to sell one. Still, Sun thinks he's a great painter. And I think he is too. But son wants to be an artist, maybe a performance artist. She's working on something out in the field that she wants a lot of people to see someday. She's working in hay. She carries bales of hay on the back of a flatbed truck out into the middle of a field on a green hillside. And that's her canvas.
Greendale's kind of out in the, or Double E's kind of out in the sticks. Greendale is inhabited by Satan, who lives in the jail in Greendale, and has been there since 1911, when they built the jail. It's not a very big building, just one cell, a place for the deputy or somebody to hang out there, supposedly watching the prisoner. Of course, you can't see the devil, so hard to watch him. Although you can see him in reflections in store windows and things around town occasionally, because he likes to get out and dance on the sidewalk. Down at the harbor, Captain John Green has his boat. It's at the end of the old wharf, the condemned wharf, the old wooden, falling down, funky wharf. It has a building out at the end, a funky old building, two stories, with fish written on it. And I guess they used to clean fish there or something in the old days before it was condemned. Captain John Green and his crew of two are coming in the dinghy and climbing up the ladder to the top of the condemned wharf. And the captain is telling them that although they have to go into Greendale for supplies, that they shouldn't tarry in Greendale. They should come on back. Because the captain never goes to Greendale and will never set foot in Greendale again as long as he lives. He doesn't recommend anyone else to do that either, especially these two teenagers. The captain is Grandpa's brother. Grandpa was in that first song there, sitting on the porch. I don't know if you know that. He's back there in the past now, so. The devil's sidewalk.
the devil's door. I try to avoid it, said the captain of the shore. There's a garden growing and a million weeds, with no way of knowing who's done which deed. That's an honest tale, said the helmsman to the mate, about a woman delicious in a matter of fate.
Jed was driving his 1960 Lincoln convertible down the coast highway and met up with a situation right at the end of the town line where there's a sign that says, "Leaving Greendale." He was noticed by Officer Carmichael as he sped by about 85 miles an hour with no brake lights.
Thank you.
Jed had always been good to him, never gave him any grief.
Second mistake that landed him in the Greendale jail and had his name on everybody's lips in town as the killer of Officer Carmichael, a fine officer with a beautiful young bride and many good friends in town, especially on the police force. Carmichael was a complicated guy, though. He had a lot of things in his life going on. And when he died, there was a certain amount of wreckage. He had a few secrets. The widow had a couple of friends. They were helping her go through Carmichael's belongings. Bring some order to the house so that she could walk around in it without breaking down every time she looked at a wall or in a closet. Silk scarf and a napkin hidden in a drawer, $200 in an envelope labeled Lenore. Maybe she shouldn't see this, she should never know, said the widow's best friend Anne.
just take it and go. I'll give her the money later. Say it was in a shoe. That way she'll never find out. To the force in everything he did. It's like we got a big hole in our side where he fit. If any of you officers would like to say a word, now would be the time. Chief, I sure would. Carmichael was a partner of mine. He was always very careful, and he played it straight down the line. One by one, the officers spoke, and the service drew to a close. He had no living relatives, but his wife. She never showed. She just couldn't face the men. And they all understood. They got in their cars and drove home as directly as they could. Thank you. year, nobody parked a car in Carmichael's space.
Son was out in the field working on a project. She was doing real well. Things were coming along really nicely. And Earl was trying to sell his paintings as usual, and life was going on. He wasn't selling any paintings. Good. No wonder other people like it so much. I think that's the problem, is I read about it in the paper today. I don't think you'll ever get rid of that stuff, so you have a problem. That's it. Visited Earl's studio and cleaned his glasses. Earl can't see very well. Most of the greens can't see. My grandpa can't see either, but Earl paints, and he's got perfect glasses, so he can see just what he's doing at close range. And when the devil showed up and cleaned those glasses, they were probably the cleanest glasses in the world at that time, because he's a very meticulous person. Not a person, I guess. He's nonetheless very meticulous. I think it's hard to disagree with that, because when he screws something up, he really screws it up royally. So he took his hot breath and put it on those lenses and just fobbed them right up. And took his jacket, a beautiful red jacket, cleaned them up there and wiped them off. And then he blew them on again and cleaned them again and put them on a little table there by the easel. The devil's a pretty dapp-looking guy. He's wearing patent leather red shoes and a leather red jacket and a beautiful Panama hat. It's not red, it's a cream color. It has a red hat band. Then he disappeared, just like that, leaving the cleanest glasses in the world behind. Later on, Earl returned to the studio after selling zero paintings in Greendale and the surrounding areas. Gotta love the guy. He put on his glasses and started painting another picture. He just loved to paint. Been painting psychedelic pictures for 35 years. since the Vietnam War. She was a vet. He came back, unlike his brother. And he started painting. He painted a picture. This guy looking at him was unlike any other picture he'd ever painted. Guy in a red jacket with red shoes and a Panama hat with a ring around, a red hat band, and holding a sign that said Alaska, printed out on Alaska, with his thumb out like he was hitchhiking. And Earl looked at this picture and he was shocked at the picture. He'd never, you know, he didn't know where it came from. But he was impressed with it. It was very different, and it stood out from all the other pictures completely, a whole different thing. About that time, Sun came in, she looked at it, and she really likes Earl's pictures, but this picture made her very uncomfortable. She didn't like it at all. She's just shaking her head. She didn't know what to say, so she didn't say anything. Now, Earl decided he'd take the painting into town and see if he could sell it at the Greendale Gallery, at the L Gallery, pardon me, Lenore's L Gallery. So he went in there, and when he walked through the door with this painting, she jumped out of her chair behind her desk and ran up to him and said, "That is a great painting, Earl. That is fantastic. Where did you get that?" And Earl said, "I just painted it." She said, "Well, it doesn't look like any of your other paintings. I love this painting. I want to put it right here. We're going to put it right here." So she put it in the most prominent place in the gallery, and she told Earl, "If you ever paint anything else, you know, anything like that, anything you paint from now on, just bring it right in. I got to see it, because I think you're really onto something." So Earl was feeling pretty good. And Earl's life had been like a roller coaster. Just the night before, it was probably the lowest point in his life, where he felt like he was a miserable failure, and he was trying to forget about some of the things that he knew. Pictures from his past kept coming back to him. He was haunted by the fact that he couldn't sell any paintings. He started hearing funny little electronic sounds. So he went to a motel. He was so depressed that he decided to go to a motel in Greendale and spend the night there. So he checked into the motel and broke out his laptop computer and put it on the bed and opened it up and got on the internet, checking around to see if maybe you could try to auction off some of his paintings on eBay or something. He was watching a little TV, and Nature Channel had some dung beetles on there. He was pretty depressed. His life. Oh, God. I tell you, this guy. Earl Green. Remember that name. He's a great artist. Someday you'll see his paintings.
Sorry.
did it yourself. It's time to relax now and then give it hell. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. You didn't bet on the Dodgers to beat the Giants, and David came up. Now you gotta pay up. You didn't count on that. Geez, half the money's gone. The month is still young. Where are you gonna go now? Gotta trust someone. Someone you trust. That money's all gone. Can't go to your friends. Big score. What are you trying to prove? Try to get closer, but not too close. Try to get through, but not be through. No one can touch you now, but I can touch you now. You're invisible. You got too many secrets. Bob Dylan said that. Something like that. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Thing you're looking for.
son was finally finished. She created what she thought was a fine work of art that had a message. And she was sitting on the back of her truck, watching an airliner fly by at about 5,000 feet on its way to land in the city. She was wondering what her art looked like from the window of one of those planes. And she had created a huge circle on the side of the hill, this beautiful green hill, and straw, which are two great colors that go together just beautifully, and a beautiful circle about 200 feet across with WAR written right in the middle of it, W-A-R, with a big straw line right through the middle of it. She figured you'd probably see it from miles, and all the people on the airplane could read it when they were landing. That was her statement. She was feeling really good, really positive about herself, and about the fact that she was able to create something like that. She wanted to show it to Earl, see what he thought. But first she went into town to visit Jed in jail, see how he was doing. That morning, at the same time as she was finishing her crop sign, Grandma and Grandpa woke up in town, because they live in town, in a little house. They spend a lot of time at the Double E, but they live in town. They were having breakfast, and they noticed a noise outside, and they looked outside. There were people with cameras and lights and microphones and generators and vans. Then this house started shaking. There was a helicopter right over the house. The media was outside their house and surrounded. And Grandpa looked out and figured out that they wanted to do a special on Jed and the Green family, and Jed Green, the cop killer. So they got in the Eldorado in the garage, and they went out the back, and they took off and left them all there and went towards the Double E. Grandma was driving. She drives really fast, especially on the back roads. Hadn't rained in a few days. You could see the trail of dust for about half a mile behind the car as they sped through the fields towards the Double E. And Grandpa was looking forward to seeing son, as he loved his granddaughter. Very proud of her. He was disappointed to find that she'd gone into town to visit Jed in jail. So Grandma left him there at the Double E, and then she went into town, back into town, to see great-grandma and pick up some food that great-grandma had made, especially for Grandpa. Great-grandma is 104. She's a Scotch drinking, cigarette smoking, kind of a tyrant. And almost totally blind. But she can see well enough. Thank you.
said Edith as she filled his cup. Nobody will find you here. And Earl is glad you guys showed up. The way things are downtown, you might have to stay for a while. There was a helicopter hovering over your house when I talked to your neighbor, Kyle.
Who the hell do they think they are? Our home like that. Grandma and I had to leave so fast, we couldn't even catch the cat.
The helicopter scared the shit out of me, and it took off down the trail, down across the railroad track toward the county jail.
Steel bars as she pushed the letter in. Jet took it up and read it, and he couldn't hide a grin. Outside the jail window, a crow flew across the sky, completely disappearing behind each bar. And then a helicopter flew by.
Say hi to Earl and Edith. Tell them I'm doing fine. Tell them it's time for you to leave home now, son. And they ought to cut the line. Can Grandma come and see me? I got a new song to sing. It's longer than all the others combined,
and it doesn't mean a thing.
Grandpa saw them there, looking
looking through the Venetian blind. Most people don't have any respect, so they won't get any of mine. I ain't gonna talk about jail. I don't watch Channel 2 or 6 or 9. I don't have time to talk that fast. And it ain't my crime. It ain't an honor to be on TV. And it ain't a duty either. The only good thing about TV is shows like Leave It to Beaver. Shows with love and affection, like Mama used to say. A little Mayberry living can go a long, long way. I took Earl's gun down from the closet, loaded up both barrels, went out on the porch and fired him off. And up walked a woman named Carol. Susan Carol from Early Magazine. I got some questions to ask. Well, you could stick them where the sun don't shine, Grandpa said with a gasp. Then he fell face first, let out a sigh. And Edith ran out and shot. Grandpa was whispering to her from down on the floor. It looked like he was trying to talk. That guy just keeps singing. Can't somebody shut him up? I don't know for the life of me where he comes up with this stuff. With a picture of Carmichael on the front page, posing with a little league baseball team, and a CD shot of Jed on a motorcycle. Grandpa died like a hero, fighting for freedom of silence, trying to stop the media, trying to be anonymous.
Used to write them kind of on the way to the studio, and I made them up like one at a time. I didn't do them all at once or anything. Thank God. You know, I'd never written songs that had characters in them in a story before. That's okay. My dad writes books, so I knew that I had it in me. I said, oh, that's all right. You can do that. Go ahead. But the guys in the studio and everything, we got kind of, every day I come with another song, another part of the story, and they all came out in the order that I'm singing them. So when Grandpa died, it was devastating. He was a funny guy. I loved him. He was my favorite. I liked it when he said he didn't have time to talk that fast. Everything he said was kind of a funny thing, you know. Even when he was dead serious, it was always a joke. So we were all sitting around going, well, you know, Grandpa's dead. Greg. Okay, it was not okay. I mean, you know, when Officer Carmichael was killed, that was like, you know, kind of dramatic. But nobody knew him, you know, so okay, fine. Okay, we'll watch it on TV. It's just another death. But Grandpa was close to home, so I stopped writing for a while, a couple of days. I couldn't think, like, you know, I just stopped. Nothing came to me. And then after a few days, everybody's sitting around in the studio, nothing's going on. Maybe we'll go fishing or something. And I woke up one morning and I said to myself, what happened to Grandma?
The evening fog was rolling in. It was getting hard to see. The old gray car edged down the road, headed for the double E. She was bringing down dinner. It was crawling with vitamins and tender as a mother's love. Tender as a mother's love. When she saw the TV ads, the side door was open. There were three TVs. Grandpa's face was on everyone. He was talking to a woman with a microphone. She was sexy and her hair was all done. We can carry it. It's not too far.
next day, right away, all the neighbors came by and said goodbye to Grandpa. And all the cars from the funeral home came and they took them away.
Grandpa had specified that at his funeral he wanted old cars. So they brought out all the old hearses, the old hearse and the old limousines and old sedans, and it was like from Grandpa's past or something. It was a beautiful thing, all these black cars parked in front of the Double E in the fog. The next day, Sun Green got up and packed her bags. Instead of going to school, she took off. She left home.
Thank you.
sun went down the seal. Someone followed her in a car. Now when she goes dancing, she has to watch her back. The FBI just trashed her room. One of them kicked her cat. The damn thing scratched his leg, so he had to shoot it dead and leave it lying in a puddle of blood at the foot of Sun Green's bed.
Hey!
think you're a great audience, really. Yeah. Good Dublin audience. What?
Tired of horse feet.
Oh, lady.
I'll just let that go. When Earth Brown was watching the sun dance, he thought she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. And she probably was. He was captivated. Couldn't take his eyes off. While he was watching her, the devil slipped up beside him. Put some devil dust in his drink. And Earth was just drinking some Alaska water. But from that moment on, he could never get enough to drink. He was thirsty all the time. He needed more and more water. He stopped at the convenience store and picked up a couple of boxes full of water, put them in the back of the camper, and headed north on Highway 1 towards Alaska. But Earth was starting to sweat and thinking about what route to take and thinking it over and always second-guessing himself and wondering if he was being followed. Very suspicious about every little sound that came out of the motor, like the thing was going to break down. Every possible thing that you could worry about, he was worried about over and over again and couldn't stop. Meanwhile, he's drinking all the time, sweating, flying down the road about 80 miles an hour in his Alaskan camper. And there was a red glow coming out of the back of the camper. Looked like he picked up a visitor on the way somehow. And Sun was asleep on his shoulder, just as beautiful and content and as peaceful as could be. She was dreaming. She was dreaming that she was still in high school. She was in a high school play. There was a cardboard house on the stage. Just like Double E. And on the porch there was a big rocking chair. Grandpa sitting in it reading the paper. On the other side of the stage there was a cardboard jail. Jed was sitting there with Carmichael. They were talking about something. Son's cat walked across the stage. Then the cheerleaders came out, but they were all dressed in camouflage, not the Greendale outfits they usually wore for the Fighting Demons games that they went to. Son looked at herself. She was wearing a camouflage also. Torn camouflage. War paint on their faces, bandanas. The Imitators started playing.
Save the planet for another day. Save Alaska. Let the caravan stay.
the wrong decision. We gotta wake up, we gotta keep going. If they follow us, there's no way of knowing. We got the job to do. We got to save Mother Earth. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't say you lose, don't say you win, and no one leave the ground. When you're high, it makes you weak and you fall back down. So don't say you lose. Don't say you lose. Don't say.
Thank you.
Maybe the Beach Boys have got you now. With those waves singing Caroline rolling down that empty ocean road, getting to the surf on time. Long may you run, long may you run, although these changes have come. With your chrome heart shining in the sun, long
choice.
Took our souls and we flew.
tuned down.
Thank you.
think of our old friends. I count my enemies. I hear you tell me how I don't know love. I wanna feel your love. I wanna lay right down. Wish I was swimming in the sound of.
There's a full moon rising. Let's go dancing in the light. We know where the music's playing. Let's go out and feel the night.
still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest moon, I watched you from afar. When we were lovers, I loved you with all my heart. But now it's getting late, and the moon is climbing high. I want to celebrate, see it shine in your eyes. I want thank you. midnight palace in the sun. On the shore lay Montezuma with his coca leaves and pearls. In his halls he often wandered with the secrets of the world. His subjects gathered round.
Thank you.
I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eye. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band.
Thank you.
It's these expressions I try to give that keep me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. Keep me searching for a heart of gold.
Thank you.
things are. It's gonna take a lot of love, but we won't get too far. So if you look in my direction and we don't see eye to eye, my heart needs protection and so
or the short one.
Carry on!
dance, but how could they know love? How could they know love? Love, how could they know love? Horseshoe man.
you knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby, can I have some more? Oh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another.
us together with trunks of memories still to come. We found things to do in stormy weather. Long may you run. Long may you. You grow more shine.
Midnight was the time for the rain. Oh, Isabella, proud Isabella, they tore you down and plowed you under. Your only real with your makeup on. How could I see you and stay too long? All along the Navajo Trail, burnouts scuffed their toes on garbage pails. Witnesses are crying in the rain. Will their girlfriend pass this way again? Oh, Mother Goose, she's on the skids. She ain't happy, neither are the kids. Someone that she can scream at, and I'm such a heel for making her feel so bad. It's all calling sickness gone. It's hard to say the meaning of this song. Ambulance can only go so fast. It's easy to get buried in the past. When you try to make a good thing last,
thank you.
up in T.O. Keeping Jive alive. Out on the corner, it's 5:30. But the subways are empty, so are the cafes, except for the farmer's market. And I still can hear him say, "You're all just pissing in the wind. You don't know what you are."
Searching for a home.